CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Hi, everybody. Good to have you with us in To Every Man an Answer. I'm Jeff Wickwire, pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And just so thrilled to be with you today, wherever you happen to be listening. We're excited about what's going to happen in the next hour. I like to say that it's the fastest hour in radio. It just goes by so quickly because we get so many good callers who call in with great questions. And we love, to the best of our ability, with God's help, to answer those questions, because there is so much out there regarding Christianity in the church world that is just false, being taught wrong, bad teaching, bad doctrine, false prophets, false teachers, you name it. It's all out there, and social media has only exacerbated that problem, giving them a platform that they normally would not have had. So there's a lot of confusion out there. And maybe you heard something in your own church that you've got a question about. You'd like to give us a call. Well, that's easy. Give us a call now at 888-ASK-CSN. That's 888-ASK-CSN. And we'll get to your question as soon as we possibly can. Most of the lines are open. If you want to jump in now, chances are very strong we'll get to your call in the first 30 minutes of the program. So again, give us a call. 888-ASK-CSN with your Bible question. And with me is Joe Jackson of his church is outside of Hawaii, outside of Hilo, Hawaii. So immediately, Joe, I'm envious.
That's right.
It must be great to wake up in Hawaii every single day of the year.
It is.
Good to have you with us, Joe. What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Hey, Pastor Jeff. Great to be here. And it is great to be here in Hawaii. I'm out here suffering for the Lord in paradise. Someone's got to do it. It's a tough job. And I've been called to it. So here I am, Lord. But yeah, I pastor a church called Sure Foundation. We're in Kau, Hawaii. And I'm excited to be on this show. You know, it's great to be here with you, Pastor Jeff. I love this show. I'm a listener myself to Every Man an Answer. And I just look forward to diving into God's word and looking at God's word and even looking at our culture and what's going on in our world from a biblical perspective. So important that we as believers have that. And so with that, I'm ready to get started and looking forward to some of the questions.
Amen. So once again, everybody, we got a few lines still open. They're starting to fill up. If you want to give us a call at 888-ASK-CSN. I'm Jeff Wickwire, pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth. And let's get started. Melinda in Meridian, Idaho. Melinda, good to have you with us. How can we help today?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is in Joel 2:25. I've seen a lot of memes online, and it says, "I will give you back seven times what you have lost." Well, when I read it up in the Bible, nowhere do I see that it says seven times. Am I missing something here?
Okay, Joel 2:25. Let's go ahead and read it.
Yeah.
And it says this, "I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army. Now notice this, which I sent among you." So God is taking credit as being the one that sent this destruction in the first place. So apparently they had been under judgment. And here, God is telling them that he's going to restore to them. In other words, he's not going to leave them in judgment. He's not going to let his anger linger, but he's going to restore to them the years where essentially they were an agrarian culture. So he is speaking in agrarian terms, which Joel does from stem to stern. And so speaking in agrarian terms, he's talking about their crops. And apparently he had allowed their crops to be destroyed and had actually sent this great army. And the army that he's talking about is locusts, palmer worm, things that were dreaded in the time of Joel. They dreaded as farmers who relied on their crops, relied on good weather, relied on the rainy seasons, because that was their living. That's what they how they ate, how they survived. And oftentimes they sold some of their crops. And so they were farmers. God sent a real judgment among them. So the good news is he's telling them here, I'm not going to let it stay that way. I'm not going to ruin you, destroy you forever. You've received my judgment. You've experienced my judgment. I'm going to restore to you the years that the cankerworm did this to you. So the good news is that God is a restoring God. He's a good God.
Yes.
And I'll go to Joe here. Maybe, Joe, you'd like to elaborate on this a little bit?
Yeah, sure, Pastor Jeff. But Melinda, I'm just wondering with your question, are you wondering if this promise applies to us today? Is that your reason for asking who is this for?
No, I understand that God still, his promise on the Bible stands for us today. I'm sorry, there's an airplane out above my head right now.
Okay,
but
no worries.
My question is that it says, I think people's misreading the, it says the verse on in the internet saying, I will give you back seven times what you have lost. Where are they getting the seven times?
Yes. Yes, so you know, I know another reference I just looked up is in Proverbs 6:31. It speaks about if a thief is caught, he must return sevenfold of what he was caught stealing. And so this is kind of a principle you see. Another example is in Leviticus 26, verses 21. God speaks of punishing Israel seven times if they continue in sin. But here in this passage, as even Pastor Jeff mentioned, that judgment due to their sin was coming. However, because of their repentance, God promises now to restore what was lost. And while this promise was originally for Israel, many believers today apply the principle that God can redeem lost time, that God can redeem opportunities that have been lost, and that God can redeem blessing in our life when we have this heart of repentance, which Israel had. And so here the number he gives is sevenfold. I'm going to give back to you because you've turned back to me. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, and I'm curious, Melinda, what version are you reading where it says seven times?
I don't. It's a meme. It's online, and it's taking Joel 2:25. Yeah. That's the whole thing. Is confusing.
I see.
I don't have my Bible with me, and I don't see where Joel 2:25 is saying seven times. But then I go to the comments, and then someone does reference Proverbs 6:31. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if Joel is talking about seven times.
In the verse, he's not. No, he's not. You got a little bit of what we call in theology eisegesis going on, where they're putting something into the text that is not there, something they want it to say, but it's not in the text. So, you know, and this happens a lot, especially out there in social media, which I was saying at the beginning. And it's the verse that Joe mentioned, if he be found, that is the thief, mm-hmm. he shall restore sevenfold. But this doesn't really apply because you surely can't call God a thief because
right.
God is the one that sent this. And so they had been under the judgment of God probably for not observing or honoring the Sabbath. And he, you know, God's command had been under Moses that you had to give the land rest every seventh year. And so when we see the children of Israel taken off into captivity, that is Judah in particular, in Babylonian captivity, they were there 49 years. And that was to give the land God took them out of the 49 years of rest that they had not given the land. So for whatever reason, for 49 Sabbaths for the land, for 49 years worth of seven, every seventh year letting the land rest, they had failed to obey God. So God's judgment was, you're going to sit in Babylon while the land gets its rest that you didn't give it. Mm. And of course, that's multiples of seven as well, for what it's worth. But here in Joel, it could be that they had forsaken the land and not honored the Sabbath as well. I'd have to research it a little bit more, but I wouldn't be surprised to discover that. But be that as it may, Proverbs 6:31 doesn't work because God is not a thief. So you have being read into that meme something that the writer wants it to say that it really doesn't say. So as we say, when all else fails, follow directions, stay with the word, with every word in the word. And verse 25, God is just telling them, this is not going to be upon you forever. I'm going to restore the years to you that were destroyed by the great army of insects that I sent. And again, my guess is they had not honored the Sabbath for the land, and that's why they had experienced this judgment. So does that help, Melinda?
Yes, it does. And if you guys can maybe do a little prayer that God can restore things that have been taken away from me in my life, I would greatly appreciate that.
Well, God does restore.
Yeah, he does. I mean,
he is a restoring God. And why don't we just pray right now? Would that be all right, Melinda?
That would be fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Pastor Joe. Why don't you pray for Melinda?
So, Lord, I just lift up Melinda right now, and we thank you that you are a God that restores, that you restored Israel. But even when we come to you with humble hearts, that you restore us, God, that what the enemy meant for evil, that you can turn around and use it for good. And I just pray that over Melinda, God, that you would bring restoration in her life where she needs it, that as she seeks you, she would hear your voice, Lord, that just your blessing and your favor would be over her life in a great way. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
All right, Melinda, I hope that helps. And our prayers are really with you. And I would encourage you to look up to the God who does restore. He's a merciful God. Thank God. He is merciful. And his mercies are new every single morning. So, Melinda, you have a blessed time there in Meridian. It's Idaho, right?
That's correct.
All right. Bless you, Melinda. Thanks for calling in. Stay on the line. We'll get you a couple of gifts for calling in. And keep right on listening to Every Man an Answer. And let's go now to Joshua, Southridge, Arizona. Hello, Joshua. How can we help today?
I've called in a few times. Today I'm calling. I just be honest with you, I've fallen off and slipped back into drugs and things like that. And I need some prayer. I need God to send me a friend that can help guide me somewhere.
Let me say, Joshua, real quick. First of all, we all need a friend. Amen. It's a great blessing when you're really in a valley, a deep, dark valley, struggling with an addiction of some kind, for instance. We need other people.
Yes.
There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There are people that step in when everybody else steps out, and we all need those. Now, let me ask you a quick question. Do you belong to a local church?
I used to go, but the schedule I'm working right now, it's hard for me to go, and I miss it.
Yeah.
Okay. What I would encourage you to do a little research. Let's say you're in Southridge, Arizona. Is that a big city?
No, it is. It's actually Safford.
So there's a lot of churches there. What I would do is do a little research and see if you can find a church that offers something like Celebrate Recovery.
Yes.
We have it here. We have one of the best Celebrate Recoveries in DFW, we've been told. I can't tell you the number of miracles. I mean real miracles.
Yes.
We've seen people being delivered from lifelong addictions, people that couldn't even remember a decade of their life because they were drug-induced all that time or drunk. So if you could find where you are a Celebrate Recovery, you could Google it, Celebrate Recovery in the Southridge, Arizona, see if anything comes up. If not, Google some of the churches there and ask around. And chances are that if the church you call doesn't have one, they will know of someone who does.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, Josh, and you don't have to go Sunday. They offer these classes all throughout the week. Ours is on Tuesday night and Thursday night. So, and we have people that come from many different places, not just our own church. So I would encourage you, first of all, to do that. And Joe, maybe you'd like to add something.
Yeah, Joshua, I just want to say, man, my heart goes out to you. I know the struggle. I come out of a lifestyle of addiction, being homeless because of my addiction. And I just want to applaud you. You putting yourself around godly men and the right people is how God does bring deliverance in our lives. And I know even with addiction, we meet people that aren't the best influence for us, and we put ourselves around those people. And so really it is coming out of that group or those people we're associated with and putting ourselves around the right people that can encourage us, that can pray for us. And so even as Pastor Jeff's mentioning, Celebrate Recovery is a great ministry that helps you walk through addiction. And then I would even suggest too, just depending on how severe the addiction is, there's even programs you can go into, which that was what I needed. My addiction was so out of control that I wasn't in control of my life any longer. And so I went through Adult and Teen Challenge Ministry, which basically it's a discipleship program, but it's just placing yourself in an environment where you can heal, where you can begin to allow God to replace that addiction with his love and his power. And so, yeah, it's finding those connections even outside of Sunday and placing yourself in that group. And by taking those steps, we're trusting that God's going to do a part we can't do and bring deliverance. As I do my part, God will do the supernatural and bring restoration in our lives. And I believe that for you, Joshua.
Yeah, Joshua, we're going to pray for you. Yeah. And stay on the line when we hang up and let them send you a couple of things that'll help you in your struggle. Because I can tell you it can look impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. And that's just not a religious saying. I'm not just saying that, like a formula kind of thing. It's true.
Yes.
You shall know the truth and it'll set you free. And what you can't do, others can't do, God can. So, Joshua, we're going to say a quick prayer and then stay on the line and do your best to find a Celebrate Recovery in your area. It'll be a real blessing to you if you can. Okay, Joshua?
Okay. All right.
No. Let's have a prayer.
Yes.
Father, we just come to you with Joshua and we pray. Yes, Lord, open the right door. Give him a Celebrate Recovery. Something like that in the area that he's in. Lead him to the right people, the right place, the right program that'll help him and walk him through into the place of liberty. Yes. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Joshua, amen. Thanks so much for calling in. And our prayers are with you. And again, stay on the line. Don't hang up until they get your information and they'll send you some things in the mail, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right, Joshua, thank you. And let's go now to Michael in Utah. Hello, Michael. How can we help today?
Hi, how are you? I'm 61 years old. I've been married for 36 years, together with my wife for 38 years. And she started off, when we got married, we were both pretty much heathens. You know, I was raised Mormon and she was raised Greek Orthodox and Catholic. And neither one of us were active at all. And then she started attending church and she went to a Pentecostal church, which I didn't know the difference at the time. And now she's gone to the extreme. She started getting all these books And a friend of hers, I think, led her into more of the Bethel. I guess they started out, Bethel started out as Assemblies of God, and they went beyond that, more extreme. And so now she's in with this whole thought process, New Apostolic Reformation kind of stuff. And she heard from God. She tells me that God told her he is releasing her from our marriage. And it just completely contradicts 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in my opinion. And I've talked to a few different pastors about this, and I'm getting a couple of, you know, different answers from it. But specifically, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11, it says, you know, this is a command not from Paul, but from the Lord himself. A wife must not leave her husband. But then in 11, it says, however, if she does leave, let her not be remarried, but instead be reconciled to her husband. And so the one pastor told me that she is basically, you would treat her as an unbeliever if she does leave. So the first part is, you know, if you're a believer, then you must not leave. But if you're really not a true believer and you do leave, you should still not remarry, but be reconciled to your husband. That was one explanation. All the others haven't really given me any kind of solid answer on this. Is she free to leave? So we just had, differences in religion. We were working on, you know, building a house, and we had differences there. So there were some arguments. She broke her leg. That caused a lot of problems as well. So we've had a tough time with it over the last, you know, like 4 years. And she's just like, I'm done. I just don't want to do this anymore. And God has released me. So she's hearing stuff from God directly now.
And I'm just going to be real forthright. There is a lot of bad teaching that comes out of Bethel. I, for one, think that doctrinally, theologically, they're off base in several really significant ways. A lot of what the pastor of that church teaches, I really take issue with, because I think the scriptures take issue with it as well. I could go into a lot of what I know they teach. Don't really want to take the time to do that. But in my opinion, she's in an unhealthy, theologically speaking, environment. They major on, encouraging people to prophesy. Like you can turn it on and off like a water faucet. You need to practice prophesying even when you don't even know if God gave you a word to say or not. Mm-hmm. They will get whole groups of their students. The School of Supernatural Ministry is what it's called. They'll get a whole room full of their students and just tell them to turn to the one next to you and prophesy. Well, that's thoroughly unbiblical. There's nothing biblical about that. It's like, yeah, turn the spigot on the faucet and prophesy. And that's not the way it works.
Right.
You know, God moves on somebody with a word to bring. It's a very supernatural thing that God does. You read about this in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. We are encouraged to be open to prophecy, but not like it's taught there.
Right.
And there's just a lot of things. I've had a couple of people from my church go there and come back with some, you know, gold dust falling during the services, feathers falling, and they even brought me a little sample of the purported gold dust. And it was just basically, well, not basically, it was glitter like you would get in, Walmart. That's what it was. So. But they were told it was gold. So all kinds of things that are aberrant and questionable. So I'm only saying this to say, Michael, sure, you've got a point to be bothered, to be concerned, because I don't think her saying she heard God, that's something that you would pick up at Bethel, that it's all about hearing God, moving on what the Spirit tells you. But the numbers of really heartbreaking stories that have come out of there are voluminous. So I don't know what you know about it, Joe, but yeah, your thoughts.
Yeah. So here's a tough position for me, right? Because I'm a Pentecostal pastor, but even I take issue with, you know, just doctrinally, Bethel's off in a lot of areas. And you know, just even when a church emphasizes the gifts rather than the Bible and Jesus, just that right there is off. And a lot of Pentecostal churches do that. But I just want to say, in the atmosphere and environment that she's in, like Pastor Jeff is saying, she's thinking she's hearing from God. And you know, I can't say whether a person's not or if they are, but just that the idea that she wants to end this marriage for no reason, it's not divorce, it's not cheating, that's just not a biblical take. We know biblically that God is for the marriage. Mm. The Bible says what God brings together, let no man tear apart. God's for the marriage and not against it. And so I don't, you know, I don't think God would tell someone to leave the marriage if there wasn't a legitimate reason. And
there's not biblical cause.
Right. So it's like she's using that as an escape, but it just doesn't line up with the Bible. And so that's the thing. Whenever someone's hearing from God, you have to look, okay, is what I'm hearing lining up with God's word? Because my feelings and my emotions can mislead me. And my feelings and emotions sometimes can sound like God, but that's why God's given us his word. And so even with you, Michael, it sounds like you know what the truth is. But with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Pastor Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, don't go anywhere, Michael. We'll be back right after the break. Stay tuned, everybody. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
In 2007, when Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, cried out to God, "What can I do for you?" the answer came loud and clear.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often. But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Every Man an Answer. I'm Jeff Wickwire, pastor of Turning Point Church in the great city of Fort Worth, Texas. Good to have you with us today, and co-hosting with me is Joe Jackson, who is pastoring a church in Hawaii, suffering for the Lord. Somebody had to do it. It was Pastor Joe that did it. But we're getting some great calls today, and I am sitting in for Mike Kessler, who couldn't be with us today, but I believe is back with us tomorrow. So if you got a question, we've got one line open. We'll try to get to your Bible question. If you'll call it in quickly, take advantage of that one line open. They're not always open. At 888-ASK-CSN. That's 888-ASK-CSN. And we've been talking to Michael in Utah, whose wife has gotten involved in a church that we're not big fans of, that has some false teaching. Yeah. And she has informed Michael that she's going to leave him. Michael, I believe I got that right. And can I just read a couple of verses that you're referring to, and then we will give a concluding response to this. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 7:10, "To the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." Now, I want to quickly add before I read the last two verses, Jesus did say there was a just cause for divorce. It's called the exception clause, and that is when a spouse is unfaithful sexually. Jesus said, if you want to end the marriage when that occurs, it's not that you have to, but if you feel you can't get past that, that there's nothing left, you've got to move on. Jesus said, you have not sinned. So Paul is not mentioning that in verses 10 and 11. He goes on to say, to the rest I speak, but not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that doesn't believe, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. So if you're married to an unbeliever, She's not going to church with you, but she wants to live with you and not end the marriage, you're not to end it. Then verse 13, the woman which has a husband that believes not, so an unbelieving man, if he's pleased to dwell with her, he's not going to church with her, he doesn't understand her faith, they can't come together on that one issue of faith in Christ, yet Paul said, don't leave her and don't leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, that's another story. But the thing is, Michael, from what I hear, she has gotten into some questionable doctrine, to say the least, and she's claiming to hear God, but I don't believe according to the scriptures, because God will never contradict himself. He will not contradict his word. He would have to do that if what she's saying is actually the Lord. Right. Now, what would you suggest, Joe, that Michael do in this situation?
Sure. So here's what's tough about life and about marriage is the fact that we cannot change another person. And so even like you, Michael, I mean, you don't have control over what decision she makes, because we can't change a person. But the good news is that God can. And so there's times in our marriages where we may have a disagreement and it may begin to bring separation in the marriage. And so what we can do is pray for our spouse that God would change their heart, that God would open up her mind, and that she would see the truth, because just biblically, this is an error. And so that's what I would encourage you, Michael, is to continue to be loving to your wife as you can, but also seek the Lord that God would get a hold of her heart and reveal truth to her.
I agree, Michael. Sometimes, as Joe said, there's nothing humanly that you can do, but you can do a whole lot on your knees in prayer. So when there's nothing left, pray. Because God can do what we can't do. He can get into a heart. He can weave his grace into a soul that we can't. And so I would encourage you at this stage in the game, when she's already announced she's leaving, that you would pray. Because again, where she's fellowshipping is, to my mind, unhealthy. So I hope that helps, Michael.
Well, I have been praying, and a bunch of people, including a whole pastoral staff at a church, has been praying for months, and she just becomes more and more distant. So it seems as though God's not moving here in any way, shape, or form. Her heart is getting harder, not softer, not changing. Yeah. And she's gotten more and more distant as time has gone on, despite nothing happening. at all.
Sometimes people have to get out there and realize that what they've gone into has been wrong. I've seen people in cults. I've seen people in situations like hers, so convinced what they were in was of God. But you know, you can lie, you can deceive, but you cannot stop the bad fruit from coming.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. You will know if what you have bought into is of God or not, eventually, hopefully in this lifetime, because the fruit starts coming in. Misery, bad consequences, regrets, loss of peace, broken relationship with God, broken relationship with others. God has a way of opening your eyes. It says the prodigal son came to himself. Mm. And that's a strong statement. Almost saying he had gone into a kind of a crazy thought pattern. He came to himself like somebody in madness, coming to themselves. In other words, realizing, goodness, what have I done?
Yeah.
How did I end up here? How did I end up in this pigsty? How did this happen to me? And you start thinking in real terms. So it could be, Michael, that that is the only thing that will bring her around. We don't know.
Right.
But from here on out, it's just going to have to be God. But we will agree with you. If you would like for us to offer up a prayer right now, we'll do that and believe God. What's her name?
Her name is Tina. Well, there's one other thing I wanted to mention is at Bethel, one of the junior associate pastors, Valentin, who is, I believe, the son of the prophet at Bethel, who's also Valentin, I just heard about this about 3 weeks ago. They started a marriage reconciliation ministry because it's such a big problem.
Wow.
Yeah. Valentin, you know, I'm not here to bash anybody. I mean, his name is, you know, known everywhere. But, you know, we've watched prophecies and words that have come out of Bethel fall totally flat and be totally false. Valentin even went on and apologized for missing God badly regarding Trump's reelection in 2020. So the whole thing there is awash with some really troubling teaching. So I hate it, Michael, for it's Tina, that's her name?
Tina, yes.
I hate it for Tina because I really do believe she's in a dangerous setting. Joe, let's pray for Tina.
Okay.
And pray that God himself will bring her to herself.
Yes. So, Lord, I just lift up Gina to you. And even as the prodigal son came to his senses, we pray that that would happen in Gina's life, that she would realize the faults of what she's believing and what she's being taught, God, that she would be awakened and come to the truth, Father. And even for Michael during this time, I know it can be discouraging for him, but I just pray that you bring encouragement to him, that, Lord, it's not over till you say it's over, and you're for the marriage. And so we're trusting and believing for that. And so, God, I just pray you're tugging on Gina's heart, Lord, and your blessing on this marriage in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, Michael, thanks for calling in. I hope that helps, and our prayers are with you. And if you were to ever get a breakthrough in this, please call us. Let us know. We'll rejoice with you. And meanwhile, let the Lord be your mainstay. Okay, Michael?
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and stay on the line. We'll send you a couple of things for calling in. And thank you so much for listening to Every Man an Answer. Be blessed there in Utah. And we're going to go now to Joe in Eugene, Oregon. Hello, Joe. How can we help today?
Hi there, Jeff and Joe.
Hello.
My question today is about Daniel 12:1. I'm having a little bit of trouble with that one because I married a Jehovah's Witness 12 years ago, and I went to church with her off and on, you know, just to kind of check it out, get a feel for what it was, and right away I knew it wasn't right. And over the years, her and I have had, you know, conversations, you know, little points here and there, pointing out back and forth, you know, what, you know, scripture says and so on and so forth. And one of the other days I was went to look something up to kind of point something out to her, and came across Daniel 12:1, and that kind of, to me, you know, stating that, you know, the great prince, and then the rest of it there, you know, talking about the end times, it kind of sounds like Michael could be another name for Jesus. Is that possible, or am I totally, because I'm checking out the verses before and after, and, you know.
Is the question about who Michael is?
Basically, yeah.
Okay. For our listeners, let's read it quick. It's Daniel 12:1. Daniel says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people, and there will be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book being the book of life, and many of them that sleep in the dust," this is verse 2, "of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Now, Michael is one of two archangels in the Bible, and I believe that's who Michael is here in verse 1. He's an archangel.
Yes.
There used to be three. Lucifer, before he was fallen and became Satan, Lucifer was one of them, and Gabriel and Michael. Michael has always been depicted in Scripture as the archangel involved in warfare. For instance, when Daniel was praying, seeking God for an extended period of time, he was finally visited by an angel who informed him that he had come with the answer that Daniel was seeking the very first day that Daniel began to pray.
Yeah.
But that he had been resisted by a being called the Prince of Persia. We take that to be a metaphor for the devil. And Michael had to come and help. So there you see Michael always involved in the warfare end of the archangel ministry. Gabriel is the one that always brings messages. We find it's Gabriel that came to Mary to inform her she was going to be visited by the Holy Spirit and conceive the Christ child. That message came by Gabriel. Gabriel visited Joseph the same way. You see, all through Scripture, Gabriel was the one entrusted to bring major messages with huge eternal import. So it's those two. So Daniel 12:1 is talking about Michael, and the context has to be the last days and the great tribulation, because of what is described here. The time of trouble has never been, when there was a nation, never will be again, and then immediately followed by a great resurrection of saints and being whisked into eternal life. So that's the rapture of the church. That's the return of Christ. So the context is clearly the last days prior to the return of Christ, and Michael is going to be battling in the spiritual world the devil during the great tribulation, and he's going to do what he's always found doing. He's involved in warfare. And so, Joe, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Pastor Jeff, you hit it right on the head. And I believe also that Michael is not Christ himself, but he's an archangel, a protector of Israel, and a warrior against Satan. And so, you know, whenever an angel is named or it's said an angel, you know right there that that's not Christ in the Old Testament. It'll normally refer to him as a man, and not an angel. And so there are, they call them Christophanies, times where Jesus does appear in the Old Testament. And in fact, another example is in Daniel chapter 10. We see Michael's doing battle there. But then it's interesting. It says a man appears to Daniel and ministers to him, touches him. He recovers strength. And so some believe that maybe that man was Christ himself. But there's an example where they mention Michael the archangel, and then we have on this other side a man that has power to touch Daniel and restore his strength. And so I believe also that that's Christ, and that Michael the archangel is an archangel.
I hope that helps, Joe.
Well, one of the things I wanted to point out that I guess kind of tripped me up on that was, you know, I am familiar with the Christophanies, mm-hmm. But also the fact that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and I'm wondering why is Michael the Great Prince? You know, a prince would be, you know, somebody before kingship, and so I guess just kind of caught me off guard, and I thought, oh. You know, that doesn't, you know, and then on top of that, Jesus comes back, correct, for the second coming as basically like, you know, a leader, you know, militarily per se, you know, to end all this stuff. And so I guess it just kind of made me start thinking, well, wait a second, you know, it kind of sounds like Jesus, you know. And could that be a Christophany?
Yeah, there are names and titles, particularly names that are interchangeable in Scripture. Now, I'm looking, I'm holding a King James Version. Mm-hmm. I don't know what all other versions do, but the King James interpreters did not capitalize prince. If they had felt this was deity, if they had interpreted this as deity, they would have capitalized the P. Again, I don't know what other versions are showing, but I don't believe this is a deity. That is a member of the Godhead, but it is the great archangel Michael involved in warfare as he's always shown. So I do hope that helps, Joe.
Yeah. You guys did me a big favor and say a prayer for my wife that he, you know, it comes to the real truth, as they like to call that they have the truth, but obviously Jesus is the truth. Because, yeah, you know, I've kind of wondered over the years, you know, do I, you know, stick it out?
Let me ask this question. Let me ask this question. So I take it she's still involved in JW?
Correct.
Okay, do you go with her still?
No, I haven't for years. We've
okay, good.
Disagree, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's where I would leave it, because you know, who knows? It says in 1 Corinthians 7, "Who knows, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Who knows, O husband, whether you will save your wife?" Meaning, there's no guarantee, but it's also saying, "Who knows?" So it could be that. You know, you will end up being her salvation, because she is certainly enmeshed in a really dangerous cult. And so if you were to walk away, she would no doubt marry a Jehovah's Witness. At least there's a good chance. Then there is no hope. So I would love her. I think you've done the right thing to stick. And as we just prayed with the brother before you, just pray that God opens her eyes, because there are such easy ways to show somebody that Jehovah's Witnesses false teaching. And I don't know if you've probably researched those things. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes the truth can get through just by showing somebody the truth in print.
Yeah.
And other times it takes long patience and love on someone's part for somebody to finally wake up. So our prayers are with you, Joe.
Yes.
And God bless you. And stay on the line. And we're going to send a couple of gifts to you for calling in. And thank you again for listening to Every Man an Answer. We're going to go now to Susan in Lancaster, California. Hello, Susan. How can we help?
Hi. Hi, good afternoon. God bless. Just wanted to see if you can explain to me where the Christian faith originated and where the Catholic Church originated.
When you say the Christian faith, do you mean evangelicalism?
Yes.
Evangelical church?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say as far as evangelical meaning you are sharing the gospel, I would take that all the way back to, Jesus and the early church. But if you're talking about as a movement, as a distinct movement where a label was put onto it, and we call it evangelical Christianity, I would have to go back to the early 18th century, the Great Awakening, under Whitfield and the Wesley brothers, that whole massive move of God that happened in early pre-America in the colonial days. We have to remember that the early colonies, I think when there were around 13 of them, New York, Philadelphia, you could name them. When they were just early colonies, they had begun to leave England, and they had started some colonies here. It was before the Declaration of Independence. It was before we became an official nation. Some great, great preachers were raised up in England. George Whitfield, a young 21-year-old, and the Wesley brothers, and they were all in Oxford University together. And God touched these young men, and they used to come together. As a matter of fact, that's way back then is when the term Methodist was coined, because John Wesley was very methodical in the way that he did things, the way he sort of did his faith. He was methodical. So Methodist was coined way back then. But these three young men used to get together and pray, and they began to pray for England, which was in terrible condition, terrible. Half the country was hooked on gin. You had child abuse on a level that was just ghastly. It was just England of that time, of the early 1800s or early 1700s, was, if you had lived then, you would have thought England was done for. And yet these young men began to pray, and God touched them each. George Whitfield, who really was the torch of the Great Awakening, had a voice that was heard by as many as 30,000 people in a massive crowd with no sound system. And the reason I believe that is because Benjamin Franklin heard about this and measured off one of his crowds on his own and said, it's true. I could hear him at the back of the crowd. I could go into a lot of history on this. Suffice it to say, the Great Awakening started with Whitfield preaching in the open fields. John Wesley followed. They began to travel across the ocean to the early American colonies. The early American colonies were birthed in revival under Whitfield and the Wesley brothers. And I would trace early evangelicalism back to that. And if you want to go even further back, probably to the Reform movement in the 1600s, Calvin, Luther, I think you can take it back there, and some of the later evangelicalism came from that. But Joe, quickly, your thoughts before we're out of time.
Yeah, you definitely hit it, and I agree too that true, it really started with Jesus, then in Acts chapter 2, as the day of Pentecost happens, and Peter preaches that incredible message, hundreds of people are saved and give their lives to Christ. And as you go through the book of Acts, you see this heart of reaching the lost. And then that's come back in the 1700s through John Wesley and others.
Yeah. Well, as I said at the beginning of the show, This is the fastest hour in radio. We're out of time.
That's right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be with you tomorrow, same time. God bless you. And Joe, thank you. Did a great job. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
Every one of you, have a blessed day. We'll see you next time on To Every Man an Answer.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.